So anyway, so we hope you'll come and help us with sign-up sheets out there, as Sarah said. Welcome home to our Argentina team. We had ladies that spent the past 10 days. Yeah, hallelujah. And had a great time. Lots of folk that came to the Lord. And Sheena was telling me about he's one of the Bible school students that is also pastoring a church. And he came the last time they were down there. He was the only guy, but he came because he wanted to see what was going on at the tee. And so then he watched them do this and thought, well, I can do that at my church, and went back and kind of replicated that. And how many people, how many ladies? 35 that came to the Lord, whatever. And so it's just kind of a thing that, just continues to grow and blossom. So thank the Lord for that. And thank you. Last Sunday night, Denny and Sandy Nisley were here and spoke, and they'd gotten $1,000 from somebody else, and we put $2,500 with it in the offering you gave. And I heard from Denny, they're working hard in South Carolina to do disaster relief there in a little town that nobody else was helping, and giving away food and water and cleaning supplies. He said there were still places that were inaccessible. The water was so high. And that all the houses they were in, the water had been in the house for more than a week, so everything's gone. And so they're working hard, so thank you for your prayers for them, and thank you for your giving and a means of blessing others. We'll turn to Luke chapter 13, and I want to read Luke's account of an encounter that Jesus has with a woman in the synagogue. Tonight's not life groups, is it? So we're going to... So don't go to somebody's house tonight, unless they've invited you, all right? Come here at 6 o'clock. We're going to talk about the temptation of Jesus a little bit tonight. And then we're in here, our homecoming Wednesday night. We're starting a new series on the Sermon on the Mount. So hopefully you'll be here. Well, this story, it's found only in the Gospel of Luke. I can't believe I haven't preached about this, and it may just be my memory, but I don't remember preaching about this particular woman or this story. But T.D. Jakes wrote a book and created a movie based on the words that Jesus spoke to this woman, at least the King James version of what he said. Woman, thou art loosed. That's where this story is. So I'm going to read these seven verses, and then we're going to make some observations this morning. It says in Luke chapter 13, verse 10, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you're set free from your infirmity." And then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." Does that just sound as crazy to you as it does to me? But the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" And when he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Now, there's several issues in this, and certainly we could focus on the Sabbath and all that, but I really want to just focus on Jesus and this woman today, so maybe we'll take another approach to it on another day. But let's talk about this woman and her condition. We don't know her name. We don't know how old she is, although we know she's been infirm or ill for 18 years. We don't know if she was single or married. Jesus calls her woman, which can be translated as wife as well. And so it's possible that it's an older person. We know that she's, we don't know much details, but we know this. We know she was physically afflicted. The Bible uses a word that I guess is not politically correct anymore, but it says she was crippled. Luke was a physician, and he wrote this gospel as well as the book of Acts. He used the word infirmity which can mean sickness or disease. It also was used to mean weakness or feebleness. It's a failure to thrive, basically. Her body had grown weaker and had become more feeble, and Luke explains then with further detail that she was bent over and that she could not straighten up at all. Her physical body was bent and twisted. Imagine for 18 years being unable to straighten up. Some of you may have some osteoporosis or something going on, or you've got back problems and it's causing you to bend at some point. I have some lower back things from time to time, and a lot of times when I pray for people in the hospital or in their home or something, I'll say, well, let's pray, and I'm kind of bending down, you know, at the hospital bed or by their chair to pray or whatever, and then it's embarrassing to me, but then when I finish, it's like, okay, and then suddenly I'm Groucho Marx because I can't stand up straight. And so then I have to say, well, boy, that's great. Sure good. And so it just takes me just a little bit to get back up there. And so thank you, and now it's time to go. So I understand, but that's 30 seconds that I'm trying to get straightened up. This woman has had 18 years of being bent over and unable to stand up. Think of the times maybe you've had a crick in your neck and you had to turn, whatever, and it was a day or two. But imagine this. She couldn't look up. She couldn't look around. And she'd been in this condition for 18 years, constantly bent, perhaps constantly in pain. And then the condition is worsening. So she's experiencing this chronic pain, debilitating pain in her back and neck. And unable to straighten, unable to rest or sleep. It was difficult to walk. All this was happening. So she was suffering physically, but that's not all. She was emotionally suffering as well. And the Bible doesn't say so, but to bear this kind of chronic physical pain leads to emotional pain and suffering. 18 years of suffering will take an emotional toll on you, so that you're just kind of broken in this. You're depressed, you're discouraged. You're constantly, your tears are right at the surface. You're always fighting back tears. I hear it frequently. I'm just so tired of hurting. I'm so tired of the pain. I just can't do this anymore. You can't work. You can't function. You can't take care of yourself or your house or your household. You can't enjoy life because you're in such pain. You can't plan because you don't know if it's going to be a good day or a bad day. You know, and some days are better than others. And some days you can manage to get in the car and go to the store. And some days you think, I just can't walk out of here. And so you're trapped in this. And as her body betrayed her and she became more and more stooped and bent, I imagine she became then kind of an object of pity, of whispers and stares from others. She began to feel socially rejected and maybe her friends didn't mean to exclude her or to reject her. They just figured, well, there's no point in asking because I know she can't go. She can't go with us. I know she doesn't feel like it. We just hate to keep saying, hey, do you want to go out and get something to eat, when it's just so much trouble? It's such a struggle. We hate to ask. And so they finally just kind of pull back and she becomes more isolated, more solitary and withdrawn. And then the scripture tells us that she was under a spiritual attack as well. Luke says she was crippled by a spirit of infirmity. The word spirit means breath. This wind of infirmity had swept over her. Jesus attributed this problem to Satan and said that Satan had kept her bound for 18 years. So he attributes the ultimate source of her sickness, her infirmity, to the devil. And we know that Jesus says Satan is the one who's come to kill and steal and to destroy. But Jesus has come to give us life and that more abundantly. He's come to call us to salvation and to life and to Himself. Now, understand this morning, not all sickness is personally brought on by the devil. Not all sickness has to be viewed as a spiritual attack. You may just have a cold because you live on the planet and there's viruses and you don't wash your hands. Or it may be the source of your stomach ache is just the massive amount of jalapenos you had on top of that mountain of nachos. And so you've afflicted yourself. So you don't have to find a devil to point to. It's like, you know, probably 3 bags of Doritos with jalapenos and cheese wasn't a good plan. But Satan afflicts and capitalizes on our weaknesses and on the natural kinds of infirmities that may come along with living on the planet. And the devil then made sure to continue to push this woman down and down and down. And so every time I've thought about this for the last week, I'm picturing this woman on a walker, you know, stooped completely over and unable to see what's ahead. There, I mean, when you think about it, there's no moving forward on this thing because you're not sure what's beyond the next 2 feet. And so here's this woman in this terrible condition, and the devil's just stooping her down, bowing her down, and spiritually crippling her, oppressing her, preventing her from being able to straighten up. It was like having a weight on top of her that she couldn't straighten up. She's overwhelmed and spiritually bound and bowed down. And maybe you can identify this morning, maybe not with the physical pain or having, you know, being bent forward but with some back problem, but you can identify the spiritual attack and the spiritual bondage this lady was experiencing. Or maybe you can identify with the spiritual, with the physical sense of infirmity, of being weakened and suffering, spiritually crippled and bound, or physically crippled and bound. So let me ask you this morning, what has you bound today? Are you bound by something? Is it sickness? Is it a debilitating kind of pain or an accident? You broke a hip or something and you just can't seem to get restored. Is it physical infirmity like this woman? Is it sin? Is it bitterness? Is it addiction to something? Is it unforgiveness that keeps you bound? Is it some temptation that you constantly surrender to? Is it past mistakes that keep you bound? Is it old wounds from the past? Is it lust or envy or jealousy or greed? Is it fear that keeps you bound? Is it worry that keeps you bound? Is it sexual immorality? Is it chronic fatigue or chronic pain? What is it? Because all of us have things that bind us up and that debilitate us, that keep us from being able to move forward, that keep us from being able to accomplish what we want to accomplish in life. Something is binding us up. Something is bowing us down, is preventing us from being able to go where God wants us to go. Luke said she was bent over and couldn't straighten up at all. She needed someone to do something for her that she could not do for herself. She couldn't deliver herself. She needed someone to loose her and set her free from this bondage. And perhaps you feel that way today. You've tried everything and you can't straighten up. You've tried everything and you can't do it. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever it is, you can't straighten up. You're bound and you can't get yourself free. You can't get loose. Well, there's good news. There is someone who can set you free. Jesus can loose you from that bondage. He can set you free. It's what the Word of God tells us. It's what the story shows us today. So here's this woman, physically afflicted, emotionally suffering, spiritually under attack. But there's something else that identifies this woman for us today. Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham. She was a daughter of Abraham. Who was Abraham? Well, he was the father of the Jewish people. Go back to Genesis chapter 12 or somewhere along in there, and God calls Abraham. He's a 75-year-old man, maybe, living in Ur of the Chaldees, somewhere up in the Iraq or somewhere. And he says, I want you to leave and go to this land I'm going to show you. And Abraham obeys God. He leaves home, goes on this journey to a land. He doesn't know where he's going. He's believing by faith that the word that he heard from God is going to be honored, that God's going to keep his promise. God told Abraham he would make him the father of a nation, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him, through his descendant or descendants. And yet Abraham and his wife are already old and they're getting older by the day. Their biological clock had stopped ticking a long time ago. All right. There was no ticking sound, all right? The pendulum had actually fallen off. There was nothing. They were old. No son, no heir. And Abraham faced a hopeless situation, and Jesus makes a point of saying about this woman that she was a daughter of Abraham. Abraham, the guy who held on to a promise for years and years without seeing any signs of it coming to pass. Abraham, who though he was childless, is called the father of a nation. Abraham, who at 99 years old was still believing that God would work a miracle and somehow provide him a son and an heir. Abraham, the father of the faithful, holding on to the promise of God, even though it seemed to be a hopeless situation, by faith he's saying, but somehow God's going to do what he said he was going to do. And this woman, Jesus said, is a daughter of Abraham in her faith. She was a daughter of Abraham because Romans says, against all hope, in hope, Abraham believed. That's what this woman was doing. Against all hope, against all odds, 18 years of this, all right? I mean, if you just wake up someday and you can't straighten up and you think, well, this will clear up in a few days, and then it just got worse and worse and worse, and she's been over further and further in a few months of it, and you go to the doctor and you see the chiropractor and you see the neurologist and you see the back surgeon and they try everything and it just gets worse, and a year goes by and 2 years go by and 3 years go by and 18 years... I would have run out of hope a long time ago, don't you think? I would just figure out a new way to live because there's no hope that anything's going to change. And yet this woman, against all hope, in hope, she kept on believing. She kept believing that God would heal her and set her free from this bondage. You say, well, why do you believe that? Because apparently this woman kept coming to the synagogue every Sabbath. She kept coming. It says that when the Lord healed her, when Jesus healed her, immediately she straightened up and praised God. But I got to tell you, I think she was praising God before she got straightened up. She was praising Him anyway. We don't know if she was married or not. Maybe her husband had left because he just didn't want to live with a crippled woman. Maybe she was on her own. I don't know. We don't know the circumstances, but it looks like she kept coming in spite of the hopelessness of the situation. Even if everybody else gave up hope, this woman didn't. She kept coming to synagogue every week, praying and believing and expecting God to help. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 16, 17, 18 years waiting for God's help. She kept coming when it would have been easier to stay home. She kept coming when others that had physical conditions said, I'm giving up on God, there's no hope, and they abandoned their hope, they abandoned their faith. She came when it would have just been so much simpler. Nobody would have blamed her if she had said, I just can't make it to church. I can't get there. I'm just too sick. I'm too infirm. As difficult as it was for her to get around. In fact, some of them might have preferred that she not come because it was just painful to watch, you know, as she tried to make it in and find a seat in the synagogue. But she was a daughter of Abraham. And like Abraham, it didn't matter the circumstances. She had decided there was a promise there and she was going to hold on to that promise. So she kept coming. She didn't know when it would happen. She didn't know how it was going to happen. But in hope, against all hope, she believed that God would heal her and deliver her. So she kept on coming. Friends, I'm going to tell you, there's something powerful about a woman who wouldn't let go of her faith and wouldn't stop believing. Wouldn't stop believing. I told you, I think I told you. I told somebody, one service or another, one group or another, I told you about a man telling me about his wife putting his clothes in the car every Friday or Saturday. You remember me telling that story? Some of you do. Sue does. That for like 20 years he was fighting gamecocks or whatever. And he said, and I didn't go to church, he said, but on the way home, he said, sometimes I'd be out all night, but on the way home, I'd have to pass by the little church where my went, and every Friday or Saturday, she would pack my church clothes, he said. She'd pack them and put them in the car and say, hey, maybe this Sunday you'd want to come by and go to church. Maybe this Sunday on your way home you'd stop and go to church. I said, you're serious? He said, oh yeah, she packed my church clothes so I'd have clean clothes every time. And I said, and what finally happened? He said, you know, finally it got to me one day. And finally I walked in that church after all these years and gave his heart to the Lord. And the Lord changed him forever, transformed him. There was a lady of hope. This lady, I'm sorry I haven't preached about her before, if I haven't, because she's somebody we ought to talk about. This woman refused to give up and believed that God was going to do something extraordinary for her. She wouldn't let go of her hope. She wouldn't let go of her faith. She wouldn't let go of the promise. I've seen people believing God to save their ladies, believing God to save their husband, and after 60 years of marriage, finally the old guy, just before he dies, says, Jesus, would you come into my heart? And all those prayers paid off. I've seen people pray and believe God for a healing, and years went by, and suddenly in one moment on a Sunday service, unexpected, no, it wasn't Catherine Kuhlman or Oral Roberts preaching, it was just some old preacher somewhere challenging somebody, and suddenly they're healed and God changes the circumstances. I'm telling you, there's cause for rejoicing when people put their trust and their hope in the Lord. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans about Abraham's faith and our faith in chapter 4. He said, therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Well, now, who are his offspring? Well, he tells us, not only to those who are of the law, talking about those who are the physical descendants of Abraham, the Jewish people, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. And Paul, he's writing to a Gentile audience. This is Romans. He's writing to folks like us. He says, and he's the father of us all, because it's written, I've made you a father of many nations. He's our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Now, I know that's a big wordy passage of Scripture, but think about it for just a minute. Hear what he's saying. That the promise of salvation, this promise of being set free from bondage to Satan and slavery to sin, it's not just for those who keep the law. It's not just for those who were born of a Jewish mother and father, not just the physical descendants of Abraham. But Paul says that promise, that guarantee is to all those who have faith and trust in God's amazing grace, the spiritual descendants of Abraham, and that the promise comes by faith. And because we have faith in God's grace, because we have faith in that salvation that come, then he calls us Abraham's offspring as well, that we're spiritual descendants. And this woman was a daughter of Abraham because by faith she believed, like Abraham did, that God would keep his word, that she had this promise, and she took it as a guarantee that if God said it, it's not just possible, it's going to happen. It's guaranteed to the offspring, and she held on to that like a pit bull gets hold of something. This woman wasn't going to let go. The promise is what she held on to by faith. She believed that God was going to keep his word. She believed God was going to see her through this. He was going to heal her. He was going to deliver her. He was going to do something. But by faith, she believed it. And by faith, we too are Abraham's offspring, because we too, like Abraham, have this faith. We say, Lord, your promise is a guarantee. Your promise is certain. Your promise is sure. We can stand upon it. And it's not just for Abraham's physical descendants. It's for folk like us that believe that God can give life to the dead and call things that are not as though they were. This woman was a daughter of Abraham. She believed it. She believed it. We believe God as well. We believe he's going to keep his promise. He's going to honor his word. He's going to give life to the dead. He's going to do what only God can do. We've got a promise by faith in his grace, a promise of hope and salvation and healing and deliverance and of heaven. And this daughter of Abraham believed God would deliver her. So here she was, week after week, still praising God, still serving God, still glorifying God. And although she was still bent over and unable to straighten up, although she was still bound by Satan's oppression and attack, she believed the day was going to come when God would deliver her from this infirmity and make her whole. And she didn't realize it, but it just so happened that this was her day. So on the Sabbath, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. He was traveling teaching throughout Israel. And as always then, at this particular synagogue, this lady was here. And notice what Jesus did, just real simple. Jesus saw her as she really was. It's interesting to me, there's only a couple of times that Jesus was interrupted in a synagogue. He was teaching. Remember once when there was a man with a withered hand and he stood up and told him to stretch out his hand and heal him? He's interrupted here by this woman, stops his sermon and says, yeah, let's take care of this. This unknown lady, we still don't know anything about her, but this unknown lady mattered to Jesus, just like you matter to Jesus. All those community friends and neighbors that we're inviting to Fall Fun Festival, if they don't hear anything else, we just want those folks to hear, you matter to Jesus and you matter to us. You matter to us. Your kids matter to us. Your life matters to us. What you're going through matters to us, because it's the truth. Jesus saw her and he's just saying, you matter to me. He allows himself to be interrupted on her behalf because she's valuable to Jesus. He sees her not as a project. He doesn't see her as a cripple. He doesn't see her as a mistake. She's not a problem like other people do, you know. He sees her as a woman. He doesn't just see her bent over from 18 years of pain and bondage. He sees, I believe, he sees her future. He sees her potential. He knows not just who she is, but he knows what she can become when healing comes. He sees her and he cares. And I'll just tell you, you may feel like nobody cares or nobody sees you today. Nobody knows what you're enduring. Nobody cares about you, but Jesus cares. He knows what you've been through. He knows what you're suffering. He sees you as you really are, and he still cares about you. He sees you with all of your scars. He sees you with all the mistakes. He knows every detail of your past, and he still cares about you. He sees the twisted condition. He sees you bent over and struggling and unable to straighten up and unable to catch a break, but he doesn't abandon you. He doesn't reject you because of your condition. He doesn't reject you because of your past. He doesn't reject you because of a crippled body or a crippled soul. He doesn't reject you because you've been oppressed by the devil. He loves you, and he's come to deliver you and to heal you and to set you free. He sees you for who you really are, and he loves you in spite of it all. He loves you, and he sees you for what you can become. He's not going to stop loving you. Jesus knew about her situation. You say, well, how do you know all this? Well, because when he calls her up there, he doesn't interview her, he doesn't ask any questions, but he turns around to the ruler of the synagogue and says, this daughter of Abraham has been bound by the devil for 18 years. Jesus knew who she was. He knew what the past was. He knew how long she'd been suffering. He knew it had been 18, and notice that he said it was 18 long years. In verse 16, should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her up? Words are important. They didn't happen by accident in the Scripture. And Jesus said 18 long years. I think as he said it to that synagogue ruler, I think he turned around and looked at that woman. He was saying, honey, I know it's been 18 long years. This isn't a little slight deal. This is, well, she's been sick for a while, and now I've come to deliver. He says, I know. Wasn't it a former president that said, I feel your pain? Jesus could say that he felt her pain. I feel your pain. I know it was 18 long years. I know it was 18 long years. I know it was long nights. I know it was long and lonely days. He knows the circumstances. He knows your past, your failures, the long nights, the waiting, the feelings of rejection. Jesus saw her, and he sees you today. And look what happened next. Jesus called her forward. Jesus saw this crippled lady and called her to come forward, to come to himself. He doesn't plan to leave her the way he found her. He's come to call her to freedom and deliverance, and that's why he came, remember? That it was in another synagogue in Nazareth at the beginning of his ministry that Jesus took the scroll and opened it to the words of the prophet Isaiah and read, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And this woman, and you, and you, and you, and me, and all of us who have been bound by the enemy, we're the reason that he's come. He's come to release this woman and all that have been imprisoned and oppressed by the enemy. He's come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor to us and to liberate us and set us free. She's been bound for 18 years, but Jesus won't leave her as he found her. He calls her forward and to himself and to his favor. For somebody today, he's seen you and he's calling you forward. Don't stay where you are. He's calling you forward. He's calling you to himself. He's telling you, now's the time to move forward. You've been paralyzed and afraid to move. It's been painful to move. It's been painful physically to move. It's been painful spiritually or emotionally to say, you know what, we can do this. I can make progress. I can move towards God. I can see change happen in my life. And you just say, but I've tried before and it's too painful and I don't think I can do it. It's not worth it. It's not convenient. I don't think I can make it. But something is changing today because Jesus is calling you. You say, yeah, but I'm crippled and I'm bound and I'm oppressed, I'm stooped over, I'm sick, I'm a victim, I've got a record, I've got a past, I can't move, I can't make it, I can't go to him. Listen to me. Look at this woman this morning. She couldn't straighten up, but she could still get to Jesus. You hear what I'm telling you this morning? She couldn't straighten up, and it wasn't going to be easy. But she said, I'm getting to him because the man is calling me to come forward. He's telling me to move, and I'm going to do that. If I have to crawl up there, I'm going to get to Jesus because he can straighten up what's messed up in my life. She was determined because Jesus was her only hope. You can get to Jesus today. Do what you have to do to get to Jesus today. I believe He's calling somebody to rise up and move forward this morning, to move toward Him, to move toward the only one who can loose you and set you free from your bondage and oppression. Move toward the one who can heal you and deliver you, because He's your only hope. But you'll have to decide, and you're going to have to be determined. It was no small thing for her to move forward. I heard T.D. Jakes say, deliverance isn't always convenient. Actually, I think he said, slap seven people and tell them deliverance isn't convenient. Deliverance isn't always convenient, all right? Well, I would go to church, but I've heard them all the, I don't have any clothes. Well, I don't have any transportation. Well, I work during the week. Well, I'm sick. Well, I don't feel good. I can't sit that long. I got an overactive imagination. I got an overactive bladder. I got an overactive colon. I got a spastic whatever. And I just don't think I can make it. Well, let me ask you, do you want to straighten up, or do you want to just stick with the excuses you've got? Well, it's a lot of trouble. It'll mean adjustments of some kind. Yeah, it will. It will. You'll walk a little different. You'll be able to see stuff you haven't seen, because your head's about to come back up from that bowed down position that you've been in. But it's going to require something. And I'll tell you, Jesus called attention to the woman when He called her forward. I mean, if you're crippled, I said before, when I get up, I'm hoping nobody notices. I'm thinking like, oh, maybe I can pick something up while I'm down here so they won't notice that I can't straighten up. And Jesus says in the crowd, you, the lady that's all bent over, come up here, honey. Come up here, woman, because I've got something for you. And she has to struggle to get herself up and to move that direction. She may have been uncomfortable in front of the congregation as she made that effort to stand. I don't know if they had walkers in those days. I guess they didn't, but maybe she got her wooden walker with the little wooden wheels, and they didn't have tennis balls. She just had rocks on there on the front of it, you know. And here she comes. I don't know. Who makes this stuff up? But anyway, I got to get better writers. I got to get better material. But here she comes, bent over and shuffling. Imagine her body stooped and her face marked by pain. Her walk wasn't convenient, but I'll tell you this, it was full of faith. It was full of faith. Jesus is calling me forward. She wasn't going to let her circumstances or her condition or what anybody thought about her or other people's opinions, she wasn't going to allow any of those things keep her from getting to Jesus and answering His call. And Jesus saw her and called her forward, and then Jesus set her free. Hallelujah. And what she could not do for herself, Jesus did with His word and with His touch. And the Bible says when Jesus saw her, He called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Woman, thou art loosed. And then He put His hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Hallelujah. Can you imagine the feeling after 18 years of pain, 18 years of being unable to stand straight, 18 years of being unable to lift your head, unable to see where you were going, unable to join in with life, and 18 years, and in one instant, one word from Jesus, and she straightens up and she's well and whole. No wonder she begins to give praise to God. I visited with somebody this past week, and I knew some of the details, an older gentleman. I said, what was it like? He'd been in prison at one point in time for 12 years. He was facing a lifetime in prison. I said, what was it like? What was it like to walk out of there because you were pardoned? He said, I can't even tell you what it was like to walk out of there, to walk out free. This woman, 18 years of being in a physical prison, a spiritual prison, and now she's free. No wonder she's praising God. Now, Luke tells us about this argument that occurs as she was healed. She starts to praise God and give thanks, and the ruler of the synagogue begins to complain. Notice he didn't accuse Jesus of anything. He accused the people of breaking the Sabbath. Indignant, the Bible says, because Jesus is healed on the Sabbath, but he directs it. He's afraid to reproach Jesus about it. So the synagogue ruler said to the people, hey, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, but not on the Sabbath. Now, it seems there are always some misguided folk in the church trying to restrict people's access to Jesus. and to His healing and to His provision and His grace. And Jesus rebuked the synagogue ruler and called him a hypocrite. This guy was insisting that the man-made rules, the Scripture doesn't say you can't be healed on the Sabbath, but they had made all these rules. There were 700 and some rules, I think, regarding the Sabbath, what you could do and couldn't do, and you know, you can't clean your ear out or whatever. I mean, there was a lot of crazy stuff you couldn't do. And this guy was insisting that man-made rules concerning the Sabbath were more important than the needs of this woman. And Jesus says, you're a hypocrite because the rabbis have made an exception for you to unloose your oxen, or if he lands in a ditch, or to take care of the mule or the donkey, you can take care of your animals. But he says, I'm going to tell you, this woman is more important than the animals. This woman is more important. She's worthy of an exception, he says. And beside that, the woman didn't break the Sabbath by responding to Jesus. She just did what the man said to do. She didn't do any work. She released her faith. She just obeyed the call of the Lord. God did the healing. Jesus is the one who stretched out His hand and touched her and made her whole. And He's Lord of the Sabbath. And if He wants to heal you today, He's going to heal you today. Amen. All right, I got to finish right here. Don't worry about what someone else is doing or saying about your obedience to Jesus. He sees you. He cares for you. He's speaking to you today. And I believe He's calling you to get up and move toward Him in faith. I believe He wants to call you forward. I believe He wants to touch you and speak a word of healing and deliverance to you. He wants to lift that oppression off of you, that weight, that burden that's been pushing you down all this time, all these months or weeks or years, whatever it's been. He says it's time for you to come out from under that bondage. It's time for you to step away from the brokenness. It's time for you to move forward. I know what the past has been, and you've come up against that wall time and time and time and time again, and you can't get through it, and you can't see your way through it. You're bent over, and all you can do is see a little bit of where you've been and where you are right now, and you can't see a future for yourself or for your family or your situation. You can't see up ahead, and you're thinking, this is all there is for me, is brokenness and bowed down underneath the weight of this, the poverty and the despair and the hopelessness. And Jesus has come to tell you today, there's a future and there's more out there, and you'll follow me. Come forward. It's time to break out of that and move towards the victory that He has for you today. Do you believe that? Stand with me this morning. Maybe this is the first time you've heard Jesus call you. Maybe you need to come to Him in faith this morning. Or maybe there's this brokenness, something that's bound you in the past. Some hurt, some sin, some guilt, some bitterness, some unforgiveness. Something from your past that's managed to wedge itself down inside your heart and your soul. And it's kept you bound up and broken. It's kept you bowed down. Maybe the devil's tormenting you. Maybe he's oppressing you with worry and doubt and fear. Whatever it is, I believe Jesus says it's time for you to be set free today. I believe He's calling you forward. Listen to me. There's a heaviness in your heart and in your spirit. It's been there, and it just feels like it's getting heavier and heavier. And you can relate to this woman because it feels like something's just pushing you down. It's pushing you over, down, further and further. And you're thinking, I don't know if I'll ever straighten up. I don't know if I can ever get out of this. But Jesus has come to tell you today is the day of victory and freedom for you. I believe that today. I believe it today. If you're here this morning and you're bound, if you're here today and you're sick and you need healing, if you're here today and something has oppressed you and shoved you down, I want you just to come forward today. The way Jesus called that woman forward, I want you to come forward. You can kneel or you can stand, but we're going to pray for you this morning. Come on. Maybe it's been 18 years, or maybe it's been 30 years, or maybe it's just been 2 weeks. But something's got you bowed down. Something's pushing you down. You know the devil's trying to destroy you. He's telling you you don't have a future. You don't have a life. There's no plan for you. And all you can see is just right here. But He's come to set you free today. This is a day of victory. This is a day of deliverance. Somebody, you're arguing with yourself right now saying, I don't know if I can believe all that. I mean, that may be a sermon, but I don't know if that's the truth. But you need to step out right now. You need to move forward right now. This is your day. This is your moment. This is your hour for God to come and do what He says He's going to do. Can you hold on to that promise? Can you hold on to that promise? This woman could. 18 years of pain, but she held on to that promise. God's going to do what He said He was going to do. There is hope for me. And he believed it. She believed it. And it happened for her. Stretch your hands toward our friends that are here at the front today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe you today that you're in this place. And there's a breakthrough that's coming for our friends today. I believe for a miracle to take place, Lord. I believe it in the name of Jesus. We're not going to be beaten or bowed down. We're not going to be oppressed. We're not going to be sick. But healing comes. We see a future, Lord. It's a future with full of good gifts and the blessing of God. We receive it in Jesus' name. Oh, what the devil's tried to bow us down. We come out from under that in the name of Jesus. He's a liar and a thief. And we rebuke him in Jesus' name. We're loosed from that. We're loosed from it in the name of Jesus. We're free today. Oh God, set us free. Set us free, Lord, from the oppression. Set us free from that old stuff, Lord. A banner that hangs over us that declares something about us that's just not the truth anymore. We believe the truth that we're daughters and sons of Abraham. We're people of faith. There's deliverance that comes, Lord. Let it come today in the name of Jesus. Let it come today, Lord, that deliverance comes to us. And the oppression that the devil's tried to bring to beat us down, to convince us we're less than what God says we are. Lord, we believe your word about us. This is the daughter of Abraham, full of faith and hope. And you bring healing and you restore us. When the enemy's tried to push us down, you restore us today. There's hope for us today. There's deliverance for us today. It comes to us today. Victory is ours today in the name of Jesus. Victory is ours today. We're not beaten. Instead, Lord, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We stand in victory today. We stand in hope today. Lord, that your promises are true for us, Lord. Your promises are true for us. Oh, God, we're not going to let anything or anyone keep us from getting where we're supposed to be with Jesus today. We are more than overcomers. We're more than conquerors. We're victorious through Him who loved us. Oh, Lord, I believe it. I believe something's breaking off of somebody's heart where there's just been disbelief, not unbelief. Lord, they knew you could. They just couldn't believe that you would do it for them. They just couldn't believe that you would deliver them. They couldn't believe that you could look past their sins of the past. They just can't believe that you could look past the brokenness and the twistedness of their body. You just thought that they just thought you'd look the other direction somehow because you were just too messed up. And I hear you telling them today that they can be free in the name of Jesus. That you loose them and set them free from that bondage, from the lies of the enemy. You set them free from sickness. You set them free from infirmity and the bondage that the enemy's placed upon them. Lord, set them free today in the mighty name of Jesus. Come do what only you can do today. Lord, I believe you to do it. I believe this is that day. This is that day that we come in faith. We come in faith. This is that day. You've got sickness in your body. You didn't come forward this morning. I want you in faith. Just if you can reach a part of your body that's hurting, just put your hand on there. If it's your shoulder, your knee, your back, maybe you're a little stooped today yourself, put your hand back there and just claim, Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe you to bring healing to your people. Bring healing to your people today, Lord. Not surgery, healing, supernatural surgery as you heal, as you mend what's torn, that torn muscle, that tendon that's messed up, where there's just bone on bone, you restore and you repair. Release that healing touch through them today. Set them free from the spirit of infirmity that's kept them sick and broken, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we believe you to do it. We believe you to do it. We believe you to do it. This will sound like a TV preacher, but I want you to do it anyway because I'm not on TV. If there's financial needs in your life, yeah, just as a point of contact, if there's a wallet in your pocket or if your purse is laying there, just grab it. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe you for a financial miracle to happen. That bondage sometimes can come through poverty. Maybe that comes through bad choices, or maybe that comes because of making righteous choices and we lost a job because we refused to do something that a boss wanted us to do that we knew wasn't right before God. We're trying to honor you, Lord, with our finances. We paid our tithe and we're doing what we know to do. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, I command the enemy to take his hands off of people's finances and their provision, that you'll give them the job they need. You're going to give them increase so that they can continue to be generous and give to the things of God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke the devourer
Because you said you would if we brought our tithes in the storehouse. You'd rebuke the devourer for our sake. And I believe you for increase and blessing to be upon your people today. Let it be, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we're looking not to an employer, not to the economy, not to the sales projection. We're looking to you as our source and our provider today of all that we have need of. It will happen because we know you to be faithful to honor your word. We have that promise and we hold on to it today in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Lord, one more time. There's some folk here, they've been paralyzed right where they have been. And they've made some bad choices and they've bumped up against this wall and they're just saying, I don't think I can ever be free. And today, Lord, it's so plain to me. Today, you called them forward and they're breaking through that barrier. They're breaking through that wall, that net that stopped them. They bumped into it 13 times. But today, they're walking through it in faith to a new future, a new destiny that you've called them to. Let it be in the name of Jesus, Lord, that with courage and in obedience, hear me, in obedience to the word of the Lord, you're going to walk through that into a place of victory. You're walking into a new place of destiny. God's got something new and better for you. You're going to walk it out in faith and see what God's going to do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We claim it in faith, and I give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give thanks to the Lord this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you hear us and you give us the victory. Amen.